I was thinking about a portion of scripture this morning. God woke me up a little extra early this morning, and sometimes we can worry ourselves, right, and be concerned by the things of this world, like snow on the parking lot and all that. But man, God woke me up and brought a verse to my remembrance this morning. And you know, I've been thinking about this whole New Year's resolution thing, and everybody has their own opinions about New Year's resolutions, right? I call them lies, because that's really most of the time what they are. We set ourselves up for failure, but one of the biggest New Year's resolutions that people make is to lose weight, right? I want to lose weight in 2022, and man, I do, but I'm like, if I make that my New Year's resolution, I'm definitely not going to do it, because then it's like, it's just a resolution and I'm not going to do it. But the biggest thing for the world every year is I'm going to get on a diet, I'm going to exercise, and I'm going to drop 20, 30, 40, whatever pounds. And God brought to my remembrance this morning Hebrews chapter 12. This isn't where we're going, but it's just something I wanted to share with you this morning. And it says in Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And I think God was reminding me that maybe there's some weight in my life, besides the fat that's hanging off my body, that there's some weight that I need to get rid of. And I'm focused on the wrong weight. And oftentimes we focus so much on the physical, right? Oh, my clothes don't fit. Oh, I look fat in this. And oh, man, blah, 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 blah. And we don't allow God to reveal the spiritual and the sin, right? The weight that's weighing us down, the weight that's dragging us to the bottom, the weight that's not allowing us to accomplish his mission. And what's awesome is that it goes on in verse 2 saying, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." How do we get rid of the weight? We got to look at Jesus. We got to keep our eyes fixed on him. Because if not, we're not focused in on the right thing, and we have this vision that we're looking at everything and we're trying to take it all in. And Jesus is like, if you just look at me, just like we do with our kids, and we grab them by the cheeks and we say, "Look at me, listen to me," right? Because we want their full attention. And Jesus is doing the same thing with us, and he's grabbing us by our cheeks and he's saying, "Look at me, focus on me, and don't focus on the stuff around you. Don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about what you're seeing on TV, but just, man, look unto me." And I'm like, man, hallelujah. It sounds so easy, right? And it sounds so, man, okay, that's, I will look at you, Jesus. And then all of a sudden a squirrel runs in front of me. And I'm like, man, oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be focused on you, Jesus, because you're the author and finisher of my faith, not the squirrels of this life. So, man, I think that our resolution needs to be, man, let's get clean, right? Let's get this weight, this sin that so easily besets us, the sin that makes us look at everything except for Jesus. And what that is in your life, I don't know, right? We all struggle with different things, but if we would just cast it at his feet, repent of it, turn from it, and man, just focus on Jesus in 2022 and really get in tune with the master, right? If you guys did not make it or watch the conference this week and you want to know what I'm talking about, I'll hook you up with some YouTube videos. Because it was amazing. And there were so many good things, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but God gave me some great instruction for my life, and some good correction and some good reproof. And it's painful sometimes, right? When God starts revealing things in your life and you're like, man, I'm a knucklehead. And you got a lot of work to do, God. So today we're just going to, okay, I titled this today, "Where Have You Been?" Okay, and we know the Bible's very, 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 very clear to not look back. Okay, And Luke talks about, you know, if you got your hands on the plow, don't look back. Your rows are going to be crooked, okay? But I think it's safe to say that it's okay to take a peek back to see where you're going. And I have two reasons that I want to talk about to back that up. And the first one that we're going to see is why it's okay to look back is to see if you've moved. Because, man, sometimes we're like sticks in the mud and we just sit there and we just waste away our days. And God reminded me this week through the preaching and teaching of His Word that, man, we got to be moving. If we look back at the beginning of 2021, it's hard for me to even think that it's 2022, right? Because it's like, where did 2021 go? But if we look back in our own lives and examine where we were with the Lord in January, the beginning of January of 2021, and where we are today, and then we ask ourselves, what has changed in my walk with Jesus? You know, the Bible's very clear. It says to examine ourselves. Multiple times the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. We need to say, where am I at? Have I moved? For some, nothing has changed. And this could be for a number of reasons, and it could be because you simply do not like change. Some of us don't like change, right? Change is painful. I don't like it. I just don't want anything to change. This is how it's been my whole life. This is how I want it to be for the rest of my life, and I'm just stubborn. Some of us are just like that. Or it could be because we've done nothing to change. We've not taken any action. We've not taken that step in order for something to change. Because we're okay and we're cool with just being right where we're at. And we're okay and cool with just nothing changing. Or it could be because you're going the wrong direction. We're not following the Lord. And think about it like this. I was thinking, I liken a lot of things to food, right? That weight. But I was thinking about, I got this gift card for Christmas. And it's to Texas Roadhouse. And I really, really like Texas Roadhouse because I really like steaks, right? And in order for me to go to Texas Roadhouse, that means that I have to load my wife up in the car and we have to drive to Belton or wherever. That's the only one I know of, right? You have to drive to Belton. And that's the last thing that I want to do is to drive back to Belton, right? To drive anywhere. And but in order for me to have that big juicy steak in a very loud, obnoxious restaurant, but it's worth it. I can't just sit on my couch and wish and look at this gift card and be like, man, I could have a steak. And then be like, boy, I wish I was at Texas Roadhouse right now, watching people dance around and act like fools and sing loud songs and eating that cinnamon honey butter, right? Man. But if I don't get off the couch, if I don't take some action, if I just wish that I had a steak, all I'm going to have is a gift card. You either got to get in the car or you got to start walking, right? That's a long walk. And you got to get to Belton. You got to get to Texas Roadhouse. You got to get to where the steak's at. You got to be a part of that environment in order to partake in that. It's not just going to simply happen. The same goes with our walk with Jesus. He's very clear about that. And in James chapter 1, verse 23, let me read this to you. James has fallen out of my Bible. Sorry, James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding a natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth the manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We must do something. We must take action in order for something to happen. We can't just, okay, I'm just gonna sit here, I'm going to stare at my Bible. God, speak to me through this and never open it. Right? Or we hold it against our head and be like, God, just supernaturally get your word into me, right? Or lay it on our heart. God, get it into my heart. You know, God is a miracle worker, and I'm not saying he can't do that, but I think he's given us his inspired, preserved word right here for us to lay our eyes on so that we can open it and take action and say, now God, speak to me. I can hear clearly now. I'm not trying to look through the leather. I can see your words. It's going to take action. It's going to take us moving. It's going to take us being a doer. Jesus is not a magician. We like to think of him, right? Simply closing our eyes and asking him, hey, God, grow us, right? Grow me. I want to grow in 2021. I want to grow in 2022. God, just do a miraculous work in me. But I don't want to take any action. I don't want there to be any pain. I don't want to have to do something in order for that to happen. We're going to sit there and we're going to look just like we did at the beginning of the year, if that's what we're going to do. If we just simply say, God, and you know what? God is the doer, right? He is the miracle worker. He is the one that works in and through us. But man, he's given us free will, and he's given us this thing inside of us called the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. And if we just sit there like a bump on the log and just be like, I don't want to do anything, God. I don't want to put any effort into this. Not much is going to happen. I tried to get through high school like that. It didn't work out very well, right? I'll come once in a while, but I don't want to do any work. But I want to get a diploma so my parents are proud of me and so I can get a job. I had to do some work, right? I figured out a way to do the bare minimum to where I could accomplish that. But with God, man, why would we want to do the bare minimum? Why would we want to just do just enough to get by? Why would we want just salvation, just to be freed from hell? But why would we not want to have the honor and privilege to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? To grow in our understanding of who he is and know everything about him that we possibly can. God's ready and willing to grow us, but we must dig into his word and do the work. In a very familiar passage to some in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, I love this. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Man, and you know what happens? And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and his seed, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, if we are planted where we belong, if our roots are dug in, right, into the river of water, into God's word, and not to the things of this world, right? It says, not standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, right? Don't get our counsel from the ungodly, but be planted by the river of water. Dig in, right? Make sure that our roots are where they belong. Because oftentimes our roots are trying to grow into something that we think is sexy, right? Something that we think is going to please ourselves. And then what happens is our roots get dug in, and you know how hard it is to pull a tree out of the ground. And then you're dug in the wrong place, and you're like, oh no, I've done something wrong. I've made a mistake. And it's painful to pull those roots out of the ground and be planted where you belong. The Bible tells us very clearly to study to show thyself approved unto God, right? Not unto man. To study, one must take action. It's going to take action, right? For a high school student that's preparing for finals, or a college student, or an adult that's going through college, or whatever it is that's preparing for finals, to study means that you can't just sit there and stare aimlessly into the sky and be like, man, I hope I pass this final. I hope that what I remember is good enough. No, we have a time of studying to know, to be approved, and most of all, to be approved unto God. Open up God's word and read it, know it, and live it. And this is where growth comes from, right? This is where growth happens. We can desire to serve Jesus all day long, but we must first know him and know more of him every day. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, we see that we must have the mind of Christ. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We hold in our hands, right on our laps, the inspired word of God. It's so we can know him. This is how we get to know him. How have you moved spiritually? How did you move spiritually in 2021? You cannot, here's the thing. We can't go back. We are in 2022, moving ahead right now, right? We are moving forward. And you can't go back to 2021 and be like, well, if I would have done something different on January 3rd of 2021, things would have been different. You can't change that. But how have you moved spiritually? The thing is that God gives us today. And he's given us this new year so that we can change. We can take action now. The second reason, okay, is that so we can see where we've been. We need to see if we've moved, and then now we need to see where we've been. The journey that God takes us on, man, it can be such a beautiful thing. It can also be a painful thing. Growing pains, right? The growing pains of this life, and as God purges things out and places new things in, things change. And God never promises us that, man, it's not going to be painful, it's going to be beautiful, and everything's going to be great. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says this. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples," we need to listen. He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So we have to deny ourselves. If we come after Jesus, it's going to be painful. Okay? Things are going to change. Things are going to be removed from our life that maybe are our comfort item, right? That blanket that we have that makes us comfortable, or that whatever it is. Jesus says, deny all that. Deny yourself. Deny everything that pleases your flesh, and take up his cross and follow me. We know Jesus carried the cross to his death. And Jesus tells us, take up your cross. Give up your life and follow me. Are we willing to do that? That's the question. Have we done that? Have we made that clear to God that, man, God, I want to follow you no matter what? Because we should. God desires to use us and gives us the ability to do things that we cannot do aside from him, right? The power of the Holy Spirit is an amazing thing. And I recall times in my life as I've grown, because, you know, you look back and you're like, man, I got saved back, and for myself, it was back in 2008. And that seems like eons ago, right? It really does. So much has happened in my life since 2008. And if you think back to the moment that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, that you accepted the free gift, so much has taken place, I hope. And I recall times in my life as we were submitted ourselves to discipleship. And that was a huge step in my life. I didn't want to do it, but I knew that God was calling me to it. And so me and Annie submitted ourselves to discipleship because we wanted to learn and we wanted to grow. And if I told you it wasn't painful, I would be lying through my teeth, because it was painful, because I had to deny myself. Because on Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights or whenever it was that we met that week, I always wanted to be doing something besides that. My flesh did. Well, there's a TV show, Survivor's on Wednesday nights, whatever it was, right? There was always something that was trying to steal me away from God teaching me. And God had to purge all of that and say, listen, that stuff's not that important. That's temporal stuff. What I have for you is amazing. It's in my word, and you're going to learn and you're going to grow. And it taught me that I had to be rooted and builded in him. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 tells us that, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so ye walk ye in him, rooted and builded up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In order for something to grow, there has to be roots. Okay, I'm not a horticulturist, but I think I would have liked to have been something like that, right? If I was smart enough to do that. But I like to grow things. And sometimes, you know, it's really cool to grow something in a glass, right? You put dirt in a clear glass and you plant a seed in there. And then you know what you see first? You see little roots growing. And those roots, before you know it, those roots will completely take over that whatever shape that you've put them in, that seed in. And those roots grow so that the plant has something to hold it up. It takes water, right? In order for those roots, that's where the water goes, is up through the roots. And then before you know it, you have something beautiful or something you can eat. I like to grow things I can eat because I like food. It takes time. And it's almost like a miracle to watch something like that take place. So we need to let our roots grow deep We need to get planted by that river of living water, as we've seen in the book of Psalms. So when we look back and see where we've been, we will see that God was, if he was moving freely in our lives, or if we're still sitting still. I'm excited for 2022 because God has some pretty amazing things. And we'll begin to lay those out next week. For the next few weeks, we're going to lay out some things of what God's going to do in 2022, Lord willing, right? We think we know what God's going to do, but, you know, he can change things all the time. But the vision that God has given me for our year, I'm pretty stinking excited about. And we're going to have to be willing to move. That's the thing. We're going to have to be willing to put our boots on and get after it, because that's what he wants us to do. And this week, as I watched the conference on TV, it just really solidified some things for me and excited me about some things that are going to happen, that God's promised. Jesus is coming back, and it could be right now. And why aren't we telling people about Christ? Why aren't we doing that? We got to be willing to go. We got to be willing to talk to people and share the good news. The theme for 21 was grow, right? Grow's gone. Obviously, we know where we're going, okay? A little teaser here, okay? But for 2021, we talked about growing and to get ready, to be obedient worshipers. And some of us grew, some of us didn't. Some of us started D2, some of us completed D2, some of us began D1. We have somebody continuing in the Bible Institute. New faces have joined us. Some have left us. You know what? God's moving. And our theme verse was out of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And we're gonna spend a little bit of time here as we wrap up. I know it's 2022 already, but we're just gonna see where we've been. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So the reason that we are to grow in the grace of Jesus and in the knowledge of him is because he's coming back. Okay? And we need to be able to identify him. And just as we talked about last week with Simeon, okay? Simeon placed himself in a position at the temple because God told him, "Listen, Simeon, you are not going to see death until you see Christ," okay? So Simeon's like, "Okay, I'm going to put myself in a position that I think this is maybe where God wants me." Or he allowed the Holy Spirit to move in his life and God placed him right there. And then here come in Joseph and Mary carrying a baby that Simeon had never seen, right? That the world didn't know. Oh yeah, the Facebook blasted the baby's picture all over the world. No, Simeon was able to identify Jesus, right? He was in tune with God. And when Joseph and Mary came in with the baby, Simeon's like, "Give me that baby. I've been waiting for that baby. I've been waiting. I've been longing. Oh man, I'm old and I'm decrepit and I'm ready to die." And God said, "As soon as I can see Jesus, and I have seen Jesus now." And then he calls God out and like, "Listen, God, come through with what you said. I've laid my eyes on Jesus." He was so in tune with God that he could identify Christ as a baby. And we, as believers, some of us won't even know when Jesus comes back, right? I mean, we will, but we won't be able to identify him. We won't know because we haven't spent any time getting to know him. We got to use our time wisely. God's gifted us with time. The time should be dedicated to getting to know him and know him more and spending as much time as we can chatting with him and allowing him to chat with us. But oftentimes we just want to chat about other things with other people. You want a New Year's resolution? Say, "I want to know you more, Jesus." Do something crazy and say, "I'm going to read my Bible every single day of this year." For some, they're like, "Well, that's easy. I do that already." For some, that's a huge accomplishment to be able to dedicate God some of your time, right? Some of his time, and say, "I'm going to read my Bible every single day, not missing one day." It could be the biggest challenge for some people that they've ever faced. Because Satan's a punk and he's like, "So many other things that you should be doing than spending some time in the Word of God." But this is one challenge. This is one thing that God will bless and give you the ability to accomplish. And you know what? The Bible says if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, He will flee from us. So if we submit this to God and say, God, I do want to know you more this year, today, day by day, each day, take it small bite after small bite and allow him to do it, the devil will flee. And he'll go find somebody weaker. The more you know God, the more you'll be able to identify the attacks from the devil as well. That's what's really awesome. Because you can see God moving, or you can see God not moving. Because the punk's crafty. Oftentimes we limit the Lord. We limit God in our lives. And where's our faith in that? Simply our lack of faith is what limits God. But he clearly tells us in his word that with him, there's nothing impossible. But yet, when we are faced with something, and there's a decision to be made, or something that we could get involved in, and we say, God, you can't use me in that. I'm not able to do that. So I'm not going to do that. But if we would say, God, I can't do that, but I know you can do that, so you do that through me, man, that's where growth comes from. Christ is where we find our strength, our hope, our passion. To grow in grace, to grow in God's undeserved favor. When God is pouring out bucket loads of faith into our lives, how are we using it? Or are we abusing it? Because oftentimes that's what we do. Oftentimes we abuse God's grace. We read in Romans that we're not to abuse God's grace to justify our sin. It says that, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid we do that. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why would we continue to abuse God's grace? Why do we continue to let sin rule our lives? Because we are growing the wrong way. We're doing the wrong things. We're involved in the wrong group. We're involved in the wrong stuff. We grow in grace because we realize how much our Lord loves us. To grow in grace means that we are in tune with what God has for us and trust him and believe that he will do what he wants in our lives. And this happens when we do the following. It says, but to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. The knowledge. The knowledge is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. That's the simple definition. If you were to look up Google, what does knowledge mean? That is what you'll find. Training in the book and hands-on training. Not throwing away the directions. Right? Me and Hayden and Brady just put together a ping pong table in our basement. And I'm like, well, I had a ping pong table when I was a kid. I could probably do this with my eyes closed. Well, one, there was only one light in this room. I didn't have my glasses on, so already I was crippled. Right, I couldn't see. So I'm like, everybody pull out your cell phones so I can have light. I got to look at these directions because obviously I don't know what I'm doing. And we look like a bunch of morons in there with flashlights, right? But I needed the directions. Because we opened this box, I'm like, there's way more screws in this thing than I thought there was. And I know there's four legs and there's a couple tables and there's a net, but I don't know how to get it to where it needs to go. So we read the instructions and we got an understanding of what we needed to be doing. And we were able to accomplish the task that was set before us. And it hasn't fallen apart. It's amazing. And the same goes for our spiritual walk. We must get the instructions. We must. Sometimes we need a light so that we can see them. And it's okay. Get a light so you can read those words. Put your spectacles on so you can see it. Read the manual and don't say, well, I've been through this before. I've done this before. So God, I don't really need your instructions this time because I remember what you told me last time. But we don't know all the obstacles that are going to come about in this time because every time's different. And we just get in that mundane groove of, oh, we're on coast mode because that's what we want to be on. And that's a dangerous place to be. We must have an understanding of it, of what we're doing, the mission, right? We can grow all day long. We can get ready all day long, but if we don't know what we're getting ready for, we don't know where we're going, we don't know what we're doing, we're just like, well, I'm getting ready, and then before you know it, goodness, we're on coast mode, and we're just cool with just coasting down the road, passing all these opportunities up. If we had opened the manual, God'd be like, you were supposed to turn left about 7 miles ago. And you've been coasting along and you've missed so many turns that you were supposed to take because you are doing it your way. God doesn't expect us to just wing it. He wants us to know what we're doing. And he wants us to execute with excellence. Execute with excellence. Mike Blake puts it, executing violently, right? And I kind of like that. But that doesn't mean that we take out the excellence part. We should give God everything that we've got. Maybe 2021 was a down year. Maybe we lived in a fog. Maybe we didn't venture out much. And here's the fact. We can't go back. It's gone. And 2022 is here. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. And maybe we need a new start. And what's really cool is God's given us this calendar that we live by. And it turns over every 365 days. New start. New start. New start. One day the calendar is going to shut and there's going to be no new start. It's going to end. God knows that time. But he's given us this year, right now. He's given us today a new beginning, something fresh, right? We have fresh snow on the ground. We have fresh, cool, crisp air. And he's given us this day so that we can actually grow. For me, time management's a big one. Maybe for you, time management's a big one as well. Some waste time and do nothing. Some are so busy that nothing else matters and we miss what's going on right in front of us. Some just don't know which way to go at all. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 through 3, it tells us, I'm not going to read it, you can go there, it tells us that our time is accounted for. It is. God has our time accounted for. God has a plan laid out. But will we follow it? Right? There's a time and seasons for everything that happens in our life. Do we have enough faith to trust God, to follow him through those times and seasons? That I don't like winter, right? But that doesn't mean that I'm moving to Florida for the winter. I would love to, but that's not God's plan for my life, right? He's like, no, this is the season of your life that you're in right now, physically, but spiritually, man, I have a lot of work to do. Hey, God's the one that gives us the time. So we need to get focused so that we can get moving and keep moving, and we cannot do it if we don't start. That's the problem. Don't be a stick in the mud. Verse 18 ends with, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And do you know what you were created for? This is a personal question. Do you know what you were created for? You were created to glorify God. And you're created to reproduce as well. But first and foremost, we were created to glorify God. That was it. How are we doing that with our life? Let your light so shine before men. Let it lead others to Jesus. There was a staggering number that I cannot get out of my head that was delivered to us the other night. And there's 154,937 souls that die and go to hell every single day. Every single day in this world. And then something more staggering is that 60% of those have never, ever heard the name Jesus Christ. And I'm like, what in the world? What can we do about it? What can Clinton, Missouri do about it? What can us folks right here in the middle of the United States of America do about it? We can go tell one, so the number's 154,936. We can change that number. And that seems like a humongous task. But what if we drop that down to 9,000? We have about 9,000 people in Clinton. I don't know how many people are dying in Clinton every day. I tried to look it up, but that must be some private information or something. But out of the souls that die in Clinton, Missouri every day, how many of those are dying and going to hell? And I would say if I was a good mathematician, I could take this 154,937 and somehow get the number for Clinton. That's a lot. We need to be leading people to Jesus. We need to be letting our light shine on Christ and getting it off ourselves. And here's something I came away with this the other night. The first night is the mission, right? We get so focused on the mission, whether that be greeting people at the door, making coffee, or singing praise, preaching God's word, changing babies' diapers, teaching the next generation God's word, that we forget about the master. That one hurt. That one hurt in my life because I'm like, I'm on autopilot. I'm focused on the mission, but I am not focused on the master. Now, I'm just being real with you guys right now, what God was showing me in this, and I was like, man, some repentance needs to take place in my life. Because we think that we're so involved in the mission that we must be pleasing the Lord. We must be glorifying Him, right? But all the while, we're like, God, I got the mission. I got this. I can do this on my own. I've been doing the mission since I was born again. So God, you're okay. Go help somebody else. And before you know it, the mission's failing. We need to do our part, yes. You know, the word tells us, we already read it in James, to be a doer. But we must know the one that we're doing it for. We must not lose focus on the master. And I'm not going to re-preach James' message from Monday night, but the master must come first. And because if he isn't first, then we're doing the mission for ourselves. We must worship the master more than the mission. Just remember that. Because if we don't worship the master, if we don't worship God, then we will not truly accomplish the mission. First and foremost, we are to glorify God in our lives, please the master, then we are to reproduce. And if we're not glorifying the Father, then what are we reproducing? It's just a bunch of garbage, right? It's just a bunch of garbage. It's fleshly. And a question that I wrote down, and I do this every year, what did I reproduce this year? What did I reproduce this year? What did you reproduce in 2021? Where's the fruit? And then to go farther, what kind of fruit was it? Well, I'm an apple tree, and somehow I reproduced a plum. Something's wrong, right? Something's wrong. We have room to grow in this. We should be reproducing. And I'm not talking about making babies. I'm talking about, man, leading people to Jesus and then training them up so that what? So they can do it as well. And so the 9,000 souls that are in this town don't die and go to hell. We all truly need to do business with the Lord and evaluate where our focus is. In 2019, I believe it was, that we talked about focusing on what matters. Turning our attention to the master. Making sure what we're doing lined up with how we are to worship the Father. To Him be glory, right? We must know Him in order to glorify Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. It's crucial for growth. It's crucial for life. If this perfect new grandbaby that I have in my home right now, if one day we decided, well, we're just going to quit feeding her. That sounds pretty ignorant, right? She relies on the milk to sustain life. And if we quit feeding her, she's going to die. Obviously, we're not cruel and we're not going to do that. We're going to keep feeding her. Maybe we need to say, God, keep feeding me. I'm dying. We tap out and we don't know why. Our walk is off. Maybe it's because we're thinking more highly of ourselves than there ought. Maybe some of us are still like babies. We must rely on the milk of the word. I don't know about you, but I have to rely on the milk of the word. I need some steaks as well, obviously, but man. It goes on in that. It says in verse 3, if you so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's truly make God the one that we worship. What if each of us grabbed someone outside of our home I was thinking about this year, for this year. Maybe this needs to be what you do. Maybe this is what I need to do. We grab somebody outside of our home, because inside of our home, we know things are different. Okay, if we're just honest, what you see inside my home when you come is probably not what's happening when you're not there. Okay, if we're just honest, things are different. We let down our guards, you know, we sit around in our sweatpants and all that, whatever it is. But what if we grab somebody outside of our home and we said, I want you to be a part of my life. Really, I want you to be a part of my life. I don't care if you've been discipled, you've discipled 700 people. I want you to be a part of my life, and I want you to come into my life, and I want you to hold me accountable. And I want you to take this book, and I want you to make sure that I'm accountable to this book, and I'm going to take this book, and I'm going to make sure you're accountable to this book. And what if we did that? Would our lives change? Some of us know, because we're already doing that. Some of us would radically rock our world. It would be tough, it would be rough. We need each other, though, and why don't we try that? Right? Sometimes we do, and we're like, hey, you're going to be my accountability partner, and I'll text you once a day, and then it becomes once a week, and then it becomes, I was just too busy. But I'm still reading, but there's no accountability. I think that's something that we should do as the body of Christ. We need to read the Word together. We need to pray together. We need to be in this together. You know, God is good and we are not. That's a fact. But we are reconciled back to a holy God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the gap is covered and we have access to the throne and we have access to the Father. And we need to tap into that. We need to grow. We need to get ready. We need to be obedient worshipers today. Because our growth didn't stop in 2021. It's just beginning. And it shouldn't stop till Jesus comes back. The days are short. The time is, man, we don't know. You know, time is likened, I was thinking about this, time is likened unto the enemy. And the enemy we fight against. And we need to fight for every minute that God gives us. We need to fight for every minute. The minutes tick by faster and faster. And as we begin this new year, we will, or maybe we have, we've made our resolutions, we've made our decisions to do or not do something, and it looks different for most of us, and some will lose weight, some will get rid of debt, some will want new things, but where does God fit in that? Okay, I just want to wrap up with this. Where does God fit in our plan? Because, you know, whether we're a planner or not, we have a plan, right? We may have goals and all of this, and God might be down here, or maybe God's not even on there. God belongs at the top. We should desire Him more than anything in this world. We should desire to grow in our relationship with Him, and our spiritual walk should change. And that in return will change the physical walk. If we'll change our spiritual walk, our physical walk will submit. And it'll tuck in there and it'll say, okay, I'm going to follow you. God's word is profitable. I'm going to end with this verse. Familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, I'm not going to butcher it. All scripture, the whole book, every word in this book that you hold in your hand right now, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And what's really awesome about it is that it's profitable. Your 401ks, your bank accounts, your savings accounts, your change jars, your whatever it is that you're putting in your faith in that you think is profitable, it's not. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then there's the result, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to be complete in Christ? Get in His book. It's profitable. There's nothing more profitable in this world. Nothing at all. What's really awesome about God and His Word is that it will never fail us. It will never tank. It will never dissolve. It will never go away. It is eternal. And it's promised that it's eternal. Okay? The Word of God and the souls of men are eternal. There's nothing more profitable. There's nothing more that we can put our hope and faith and trust and everything about our life in than God's Word. And I think that we need to do that. And we need to help other people do that. Because we're the body and we're in this together. Let's pray.